We live in a pretty modern and fast-paced world, and it's one of the things that we do is every day we make purchases. And there are ways that we make those purchases, and sometimes we think our data are protected, and sometimes they're not protected, and then we've got a problem. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The folks at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection work very hard to keep you and I safe from fraud, from identity theft, and a whole lot more. And today, as always, they have some valuable information to share with us. Sandy Chalmers is one of our guests, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Thank you for coming by, Sandy. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, Larry. It's nice to be here today.
And Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Always great to have you as well, Michelle.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, we've got so many things to talk about. And let me remind listeners, as you listen to the show today and have a question or comment, maybe there's a scam out there or something you're worried about, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. And it seems like there have been data breaches pretty often with big retailers. This time, it's Home Depot, apparently. What do we know about what's happened there, Sandy?
Well, I think the whole thing is under investigation still, and there are little bits of information coming out in the media about how it was detected and what's going on. But we've recently had this series of fairly large data breaches over the last 2 weeks again, and it's gotten to the point where something like a data breach on the scale of a Home Depot doesn't even make the front page of the paper anymore. So right. It's almost gotten to be, you know, business as usual. But I know that consumers are concerned about this and what they can do, if anything, to protect their data.
Has Home Depot responded? I assume they obviously
have. Well, if I remember correctly, they've said that no consumer data was at risk.
Okay.
But then you have the whole thing about how much of this is Russian hackers targeting us and retribution. So it's a huge issue on a global scale. Our advice to consumers is the same thing we've been recommending all along. If you do believe you're a victim of a Home Depot-type breach, go to their website. They'll usually email you or write to you with information. Typically, these big companies will provide you with some kind of free credit monitoring, so make sure you sign up for that. It's a really good service they will provide. But beyond that, make sure you pull your credit reports and look for unauthorized activity there. Check your credit card statements, financial statements, and go through them with a fine-tooth comb looking for unauthorized charges. And place a security freeze on your credit report, which provides a layer of security to keep a criminal from opening an account under your name.
So lots of things. And then I think you've also said never carry your Social Security card is another thing, I believe.
Well, that's a very easy way a thief could open an account, a credit card account or any kind of account under your name, is to steal your Social Security card from you. A lot of people express concern to us about carrying their Medicare cards with them because your Social Security number is on your Medicare card. In that case, what we recommend is making a copy of your Medicare card, block out all the numbers but the last four digits, and carry that with you. And then if you are in an emergency situation, you can have somebody bring your Medicare card to the hospital or whatever with the full number. But do not carry your Social Security number with you in your purse or wallet.
Yeah. So lots of things. I wish this wouldn't have to be the case, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to worry about that, Michelle?
That'd be great. I mean, if there weren't breaches. And so people, you know, think about how you pay for things and what works best for your lifestyle. And with these breaches, it's often credit card information. So think about how large you're building a profile with individual companies and handing over additional information besides just your credit card. Be conscious of what information you're handing out to whom and how they're securing that data, because if they end up with a breach, what is potentially at risk? What kind of information have they built about you at that location? So always being aware and asking the questions. Why do you need it? How do you store it? How long do you keep it?
I just picked up the paper looking the other day. Here's a fitness center in the Madison area closed without warning and left a lot of members, including some who had bought lifetime memberships, supposedly, in the lurch. Some who had bought lifetime memberships and paid a couple $1,000 or whatever just weeks before they closed.
We do hear about fitness clubs from time to time, and consumers should know that there are laws on the books that protect them when they're doing business with a fitness center. For instance, lifetime contracts are prohibited by state law, and I wish these people had known that before they paid their money. Also, you can't have a contract of longer than 2 years, and again, that's to protect the consumer from paying too much money up front, and then if the fitness club goes under, then they're out their money. We also hear complaints about broken cancellation policies, and sometimes you may be subject to a real hard sell, especially at, you know, your New Year's resolution time when everybody's pumped up to lose weight and stuff. So there is also on the books a 3-day cooling off period. So if you sign that contract with the fitness club and have second thoughts, you have 3 days to cancel your contract.
Okay, so that's good to know. And it's only for 2 years is the most you can sign up for.
That's right.
I had have a friend who actually signed up when one of the health clubs, this is like probably 25 years ago, came into town. And he was signed up for one of these deals where you pay the same amount every year if you keep renewing. So he's paying the same amount now that he paid when he first came here. And that I bring that up because that fitness club has honored that. And there are a lot of good fitness clubs out there, but just be careful.
Right. And I'm belong to a fitness club, and it's the same thing. I'm still paying the rate that when I signed up for it about 15 years ago now. So it's hard to give up that club because that's a really good rate I won't find again.
Absolutely. Well, there's a bit of a chill in the air these days. My daughter went ahead and put a little jacket on to go to school this morning. Probably a good time to talk about buying propane. Because a lot of people have to buy propane.
Yeah, Wisconsin has a very high percentage of people who use propane for their heating needs in the winter. And last winter, we had kind of the perfect storm of problems with the propane shortages and difficulty getting it into the state because pipelines had shut down or reversed. And one of the things we found out is that many consumers didn't really understand the terms of their contracts. So this is very basic, but make sure you read and understand everything in that contract before you sign. And look very closely for provisions on added fees and surcharges and how credits and refunds may be applied, because added fees can add a lot to your out-of-pocket costs. If they're going to charge for every time they deliver or a trucking fee or weekend deliveries, just make sure you understand all that. And then propane dealers have a variety of pricing agreements and delivery arrangements, and they come in all different combinations. So make sure you understand that very well before you sign. Keep a copy of your contract also. So if you run into problems down the road, you have something in writing to refer to. I think a lot of consumers, Larry, were surprised that propane is treated like a commodity in the state, and the propane prices are not regulated like some other natural gas or electricity. So the terms of that contract really govern the relationship between the consumer and the business. So that's why reading your contract is so important.
Yeah. We have some callers online, but we still have some open lines. What about you? Are you worried about a big data breach or about keeping your data safe? Maybe you've had an issue with a business. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Email at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. That's the Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Tim in Hancock first. Tim, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi, thank you. I had a question regarding Medicare Advantage plans. That's health insurance coverage for people on Medicare.
Yeah.
I have had extreme difficulty with my plan not having providers available. And as you may well know, and I have recently learned, the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance is unable to deal with issues with these plans because they're federal. Yeah. And essentially what my plan has done has in 2013 not paid over $13,000 in medical care for me.
Mm.
And this year in the same range, I went to the emergency room with internal bleeding. Mm. And was hospitalized, but the plan wouldn't
provide me
with access. No, they wouldn't provide me with access to anything but a doctor, none of the testing or anything after I was released from the hospital.
That's a lot, and I'm not sure. I don't think you guys are organization that handles that. Are you, Sandy?
No, we're not. As the caller said, it's a federal law and a federal issue, and you may want to contact your member of Congress and see if they can be an intermediary between you and Medicare and this insurance provider. But what we hear about are these fraudulent companies that take advantage of seniors at the time of year that the Medicare Advantage plans are renewed or you're making that selection. And they'll call saying they're from Medicare and ask to, can you confirm your Medicare number for me? And they want you to read to them your Social Security number.
Oh.
So that's the kind of fraudulent Medicare-related issues we do deal with. But unfortunately, this is something that he would have to be in touch with the federal government about.
I'm sorry. And probably the best, one thing I've noticed about our members of Congress, whenever I've sent a letter or phoned, I get almost immediate response back. I mean, they're very, very good about responding to their voters.
Well, I think they would be pleased to hear you say that. But they do take constituent issues very seriously, and I'm sure Tim would have good results by contacting his member of Congress.
I think our member of Congress says is it 24 hours? There's some sort of response within 24 or 48 hours and guaranteed. So, Tim, I hope you'll do that. I wish we could help you, but this is something the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection can't. Sounds like you certainly have a complaint that is worth looking into. So I hope you will. And thanks again for calling. I want to give Stephanie and Madison a chance to join us. Stephanie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you today?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, see, I was just calling in regard to the conversation you were just having about the fitness center that closed in Madison and left people kind of high and dry. You know, one other tip that I didn't hear you mention for consumers, any fitness club that asks their members to prepay. So if, for example, you know, come join our club, even on a monthly basis, any place that asks you to prepay, they're required to be bonded in the state of Wisconsin. And what that bond is going to do for the consumers is protect them in just such an instance where, you know, they close their doors and walk away. Then their members have some recourse to go to the Department of Consumer Protection and say, okay, hey, you know, they can then open a file, they can open a case against this club, and if they were bonded, their members can take advantage of that to be able to recoup some of their money. And people need to not be afraid to ask that type of thing. You know, some clubs really ask for a big chunk of money up at one time. And when you're investing in yourself and you're investing in your health, but you need to be smart about it too. So just really, you know, ask a lot of questions. And the 3-day wait is something that is very good and something that people need to see on the contract that they're signing, because if they're going to exercise that right, they have to have a copy of that to sign, to turn in, saying exactly that they're executing their right, their 3-day right, and then there's different things that the club has to follow in order to refund their money in a timely manner. So that's another tip that I thought would be helpful for people.
Oh, Stephanie, thanks. And Michelle, you're shaking, nodding yes.
Yeah, Stephanie's absolutely right. If a fitness center takes more than $100 down from a consumer in advance of receiving services, then they're required to have a security on file with the state. And that can come in 3 different forms: a bond, a letter of credit from the bank, or a certificate of deposit with the state of Wisconsin. So it's a means for consumers, should they the center close and they lose funds, of us being able to refund that. But consumers do need to think, if they are making monthly payments or paying a lot in advance, it's a $25,000 bond, depending upon how large that facility is, how many clients they have, and how many pay X amount in advance, you may only get X returned on your dollar. So just consider that when you're making your payments to them, or how much you're willing to put down. And Stephanie's right, ask those tough questions. Make sure you're getting that paperwork from them and receiving copies of all of that paperwork.
Stephanie, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. Taking a look at consumer protection issues today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. You can join in, too. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org, or post like Jan did on my Facebook page. Just go to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Sandy Chalmers, our consumer protection experts. And Bob and Franklin up next with a question. Bob, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Back to health clubs.
Okay.
We had been looking for a place to go, and it seems that everyone we contact requires that we provide a bank account number, and they want to withdraw the funds automatically every month. I don't want to do that, of course. Is that legal?
There is no law governing how they receive the payment. The fitness center can dictate or direct how it is that they want to operate, and I think there's a potential that they don't receive certain clients as a result. Did you inquire to see, other than a bank account, if you can give them a credit card that you charge to each month? Because then you can monitor that as well.
I think maybe they might accept a credit card. I don't remember asking about that.
That's a different form, so that way it's limited as to what they can get at, and you can monitor that every month, and they're not able to just get, you would have the filing a dispute ability against it. They're not after your, or the potential of your actual funds to your bank account. So that, or some say, okay, pay me in full, but then we just covered what can happen if you pay for a year or two up front if the center closes. So, you know, talk to them about a credit card option if you really want to be part of that club.
All right. There you go. Thanks a lot for calling, Bob. Tony in Madison. Hi. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hello. Question concerns data and the potential for data theft. As you may remember, several years ago, the VA, the federal VA, had an employee who had a laptop that he took home that had, I guess, several million veteran Social Security numbers, and then he misplaced it or lost it. Since this concerns service records for everybody who'd been in the Army or another branch of the service since 1971, that probably included some of my material in my Social Security number since I've been in since 1977. I was wondering, can you give me an update on that? Hopefully they found the laptop or something of that effect.
Oh, I haven't. I don't recall reading or seeing anything.
That was one of the first major government data breaches, and I know that prompted a number of guidelines and rules for federal agencies to follow when handling personal information. I can't remember the specifics of that case, whether the laptop was ever recovered or what happened with that, but... So I can't give any of the details.
Yeah, sorry, we can't. Now, I would, if you go to the Social Security Administration online to them, I would expect if you send them a note and say, hey, could you tell us whatever happened to that? Should be able to. They should know.
Yeah, that or the VA, since it was their breach of Social Security numbers. But the biggest thing is monitoring your information, regardless of how these breaches turn out and they recover laptops. It's not to say what happened with the data on the laptop, if you ever really truly know. So the key is to continue to monitor and pay attention. Run your credit report every year. Watch your Social Security statements to make sure that you don't have extra jobs that you haven't actually worked, and paying attention to your information.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thanks, Tony, for calling. Facebook comment from Jan. I think someone got my email address in the Target breach. Getting much more spam lately. Could be that. Could be a lot of other things, too.
It could be a lot of other things. Check your settings on your email account and make sure that it's tight as far as letting sending anything suspicious into your junk email folder.
Someone else said for the person who had the problem earlier, the Office on Aging, I believe, is the place to go. The County Office on Aging for the person who had the trouble with, the Medicare issue.
Yeah, they have very good resources there to help with these kinds of issues.
Yeah, so... just another little tip. An email from Ann in McFarland. Last week, my elderly parents got a letter from Home Depot saying that they may be owed a monetary refund or settlement. They need to sign a letter and send it back to Home Depot. They do have a Home Depot credit card, but if they have this money coming to them, why wouldn't it just be credited to them on their card?
That's... interesting. I wonder if there was a number to call or any kind of contact information for more. Yeah, you can look at the kind of information they're asking you to provide and think about what are the risks and benefits, potential benefits. But I don't know whether there was some kind of legal something consumer type lawsuit.
I'm not sure either, so calling the corporate Home Depot or the number on the back of your Home Depot credit card, rather, because if you call the number on the letter, if the letter's a scam, you might be directed into the scam. So
call the number on the back of your credit card.
If it's credit card related, if some random refund or settlement, who knows what that is, so maybe even corporate Home Depot if they had some lawsuit or something.
There you go. Eric in Endeavor, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Michelle, Sandy, Larry, hello.
Hi.
I went to the local Walmart and it was on clearance for a really low price, but I bought a telescope and it had the Smithsonian seal of approval on it. But it said it was like 15 power, and I compared it to my neighbor binoculars that actually were 15 power, and it fell way short of that. So I returned it and the Walmart pulled it off the shelf after I mentioned it. But what about, how do I deal with that with the company that sold it and the... Smithsonian. What do I do about that?
Well, you can file a complaint with us and we'll take a look at it on your behalf. If Walmart refunded your money, at least you're not out anything. Mm-hmm. But we do have a law in the books. It's been there since 1918 or something like that, a law that prohibits fraudulent, deceptive, unfair advertising. So that's one of the laws we enforce, and we'd be happy to take a look at that on your behalf.
So now how does he do that?
Well, he can go to our website at datcp.wisconsin.gov. www.wi.gov, or you can call our toll-free hotline number, 800-422-7128, and tell the person who answers the phone that you'd like a complaint form, and we'll put that in the mail to you.
So that's 800-422-7128.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we have a link on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show to your site as well. I'm just not seeing it right at the moment, but I know it's there. It's there somewhere. So just go to my Facebook page, and we've got a link for sure. And Mary in Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello. I don't have the internet, so I can't check with my bank, but I have a bank card, a time card where I get cash from an account. Now, is there any history of somebody hacking into a bank? Like Target, they hacked into a Target?
I don't know if there's ever any been. There is some issues with cards. At least things that you need to watch out for in using that card that you have, that bank card.
Mm-hmm. Where the card's been used, what stores you use it with, as opposed to just the bank itself. So I can't say that I'm aware of any recent bank data breaches specifically. And when you're impacted by a breach, you're typically contacted by the entity and notified, so you'd probably receive notification from your bank as well. But it's easy enough just to call the number on the back of your card if you have questions or concerns and ask them.
You know, it's worth it, I think, too, to repeat, Sandy, what you were talking about, I think, last time we were on, about when you use that card, you have to type in a number, a VIN number, and people can actually, I guess there have been times where people were actually getting that number with a camera. Did you?
The skimming and all of that. So taking an extra swipe or an image swipe of the card, and where there are fraudulent readers at time machines, at gas stations, and different places, and then there's cameras as well, so they can get the PIN number.
Right. And again, this is why it's so important that you review your statements to make sure that those all are charges that you made and not somebody else. We hear from people all the time who have been traveling on vacation or up to the Twin Cities and have their accounts drained after using an ATM. And unfortunately, that happens.
Yeah. Unfortunately. So, Mary, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. We got an email from UW Eau Claire Continuing Education just to let us know that Continuing Education, UW Extension, is offering a seminar on payment card compliance tomorrow in Eau Claire. Program is for anyone who collects, stores, transmits, or processes credit card information. So not the consumers, but the businesses themselves. So it's the best practices in payment card security. That's tomorrow from 8 to 10 o'clock at the Clarion Hotel in Eau Claire. So something else. And we'll probably put up a link on my Facebook. We'll have a link on my Facebook page for that. So if you have a business and want to check that out, just go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Stephen Wausau, thanks for calling. Hi.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Just something recently that's been happening, and I probably just didn't read all the instructions of how to get my rebate, but if you bought so much of a product, you were going to get an $8 rebate, and it didn't come back in a check form like it normally does. It came back in a credit card form, and you had to sign up for the credit card they said they were going to put the $8 on the credit card, but of course you had to get a PIN number and give all your IDs, things like that. Just wondering if there's been a complaint about that.
Well, I can't say that anyone has filed a complaint with us, but Michelle and I both have gotten those credit card rebates, and it's not as convenient for me as getting a check that I could deposit into my account. One thing you can do is either call the number on the back of the card. Usually it's a Visa or MasterCard type product, and ask them the different ways you can use that card. Some retailers will allow you to apply the balance that's on the card onto your purchase. So if you're buying something for $50, you can apply the $8 that's on your card. But otherwise, it can be kind of difficult to find an $8 purchase so that you can use the full balance on the card.
And then, but then you got another. Then you have another credit card too. Is that what we're?
It sounds like his offer was like that. Yeah, that he'd have to get another card. So it's paying attention, that whole comparison shopping. Is the rebate really that good going in? It lowers the price or lowers the price after the fact, but what form does the rebate come in? And is it a place, if you get that card, where you return to or not? Like Sandy said, finding that $8 item, or do you really want to spend $50 at that store again? So is it the good deal you think it might be?
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Steve, for calling. Annabelle in Fort Atkinson, it's your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Since I called, I also have a comment to make.
Okay.
And I'll make the comment first so I don't forget. I infrequently, but often do get calls asking to sell something over the phone. And I have come up with the response that I say I do not respond to phone solicitation, and thank you. And they don't give me any argument about that.
Mm-hmm. Good way to do it.
Okay. Now, my reason for calling was this. I think maybe this is the beginning of the time when this is going to happen more often. I got a call from some committee, I think, that was connected with a political organization about supper time yesterday. And they said, asked that whether they had a survey and would I be able to help them. And I said, no, I didn't think so, and they didn't give me any argument. But my question is this, what is your reaction to responding to surveys on the telephone?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it's your choice whether you want to participate in a survey. Sometimes those surveys can go on forever, and you're correct that you can spend half an hour answering survey questions, you know. And you're correct that surveys heat up at this time of the political season. And if you happen to be a voter that fits a certain profile, those survey firms can be very persistent and call you over and over and over until you say, don't call me again, I don't want to participate. The other thing, though, is that sometimes companies use the survey as a come-on, and they think it's a way for them to get around the no-call prohibition on sales calls to numbers that are on the no-call list. That's illegal. So if you get a call from a company says, will you participate in our survey, and they ask you your age and something about your credit card debt or your financial annual income, and then it's followed up with a call to buy one of those bath systems or something like that, that's obviously against the law, and we want to hear from you about that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm going to stay with my thinking that I will not respond.
Sure.
If it comes, you know, some survey comes in the mail, I can
at
look
least
at it and decide whether it's something
you want to respond to. Yeah, understood. And if you just say, are you selling anything? If you're selling anything at all, you might as well just stop right now because I'm not going to accept it. That's the other way to do it, but your approach, Annabelle, is probably the best approach. Oh, boy. Bill in Mount Morris, turning to you next. Hi, Bill. Bill, are you there? No. Maybe we lost Bill. Let's see if Harry's here from Appleton. Hi, Harry. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
For the gentleman, Tim, that was having a problem with his Medicare Advantage plan.
Yes.
There's two actions he should take. The first is to open up his evidence of coverage and find out the procedure for filing a formal appeal to the company. And the second step is he should call Medicare, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and the number is very easy. It's just 1-800-MEDICARE. They're open 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. And he should file a complaint with Medicare because Medicare is the agency that regulates Medicare Advantage plans.
Okay. And Harry, you work for Medicare, right?
I'm an insurance broker in Appleton, and I specialize in Medicare plans. And the other thing I would tell him to do is during the next open enrollment period, which is October 7th to December 15th, get a different plan.
Yeah, for sure.
Preferably a preferred provider organization so he doesn't have to worry about them being in the network or out of the network. Either way, he'd have some coverage.
Yeah. Thank you, Harry. I really appreciate
You're welcome.
It. Yeah, I appreciate that call. Yeah, I'd be signing up for somebody, another organization for sure. You can join in. By the way, I'm just noticing we have some open lines again. So you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Talking with our consumer experts, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryan. And today I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later this month, I'll be at a very cool Wisconsin Public Radio event in the Milwaukee area, and you can come too. You can enjoy dinner, bid on some silent auction items featuring Packers tickets, Harley-Davidson gear. You can brush up on your art skills. You can play WPR Trivial Pursuit. You can meet Kathleen Dunn and me and enjoy some other fun surprises as well. And then at the end of the night, Kathleen's going to give an insider's view of public radio. That's Thursday, September 25th. It's in the Milwaukee area, and you can register right now. So just go to WPR.org/Milwaukee. It's WPR.org/Milwaukee. Looking forward to it. Thursday night, September 25th. And looking forward to hearing from you. Maybe you have a consumer question, and if you do, you can join us right now at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Bob and Blair, your turn. Thanks, Bob.
Yes. No one irritates me more than a company called Credit Card Services, who offer the option to press 9 and say they won't call you, but they do every day almost, offering you a lower interest rate. What's been really interesting lately is they started using false caller ID numbers. They're using numbers that used to belong to our neighbors when we had a party line. And of course, there's no one on that number now, but all the digits are the same except for the last number in the caller ID as our number.
Mm.
Is there?
What can you do is your question.
With.
Yeah.
Cards.
These people are still allowed to call us like that, even though we're on the do not call list.
Yeah.
These are illegal calls. Most legitimate companies honor the no call list, but the person calling you is from somewhere overseas where they're hiding and they think they can get away with ignoring our no call laws. Pressing a number just identifies your number as a live number, and that information will be sold. And that's why we recommend not pressing a number, because your calls will increase if you respond in any way. The second thing is, don't trust your caller ID. These crooks can manipulate your caller ID to make it say whatever they want it to say. And we have seen this trend in the last couple of months or so where the number that shows up on the recipient's caller ID is a digit or two different from their own phone number, or in some cases, their own phone number shows up on the caller ID. And it's all a game played by these crooks to get you to pick up the phone and press a number.
So there you go. You've already pushed that number, Bob, but don't push it again. I guess that's the advice right now. And there's really, I mean, I guess you can file a complaint, but you're not going to get...
Filing a complaint does help us. That's the way we're able to identify trends that are out there in the state. And any information that is reported to us, we report to the Federal Trade Commission so they can connect the dots and keep the public informed of the latest scams that are out there.
Yeah, and your 800 number again is?
Our 800 number is 1-800-422-7128.
Okay. There you go, Bob. Thank you very much for calling. I'm going to give John, who is in the UP, a chance to join us. Hi, John.
Hello. I'm calling for an elderly neighbor I have. He got, it's a later model Toyota pickup, anyways, and it's, he got a recall on it. And he brought it in to a dealer. That dealer is probably about 40 miles from where he lives. Anyways, he brought the vehicle in, and there's just supposed to do some kind of framework on it. And he had it for about a week, and he went to get the truck when it was done, and he ended up with a $1,500 bill. $1,500 some change. Anyways, I asked what they do. He said, well, I just had him, wanted to do a brake line, but, I mean, brake job, do pads and stuff. And they, every time they started working on something, they broke something, and then they ended up replacing other parts and all this stuff, and it come out to about $1,500 for the bill for a normal brake job. And I asked him, you know, what did they change? He said, well, he had a little rip in a boot on one of the axles, and so instead of changing it just a rubber boot, they changed the whole axle, and they changed the axle on the other side too. They wanted to bleed the brakes, and make a long story short, he got the truck back. And they told him that the brake job was a necessity because his pedal was going about halfway to the floor, and it's a safety issue. So he had it done. And after he got the bill, he got the truck back. The pedal's going almost to the floor now.
Oh, so it's worse than it was.
It's worse, yeah.
Is it Wisconsin or was he in Michigan?
It's up in Ashland, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Way up north up there. But it's a big dealership. But it's just that he told me what they did, and I said none of that stuff was necessary. But they kept breaking things, and as they're doing one thing, they break something, they kept replacing the parts. And they never told him none of this until he got the truck back.
Well,
he expected to get the pay for the brake job, which, you know, he might have paid $100, $150 for that. But yeah, the other parts, it kept adding up to $1,500. And he ended up paying it. And I said, well, you shouldn't have done that. They should have called in before they did the work. And then the parts, I was told once before, if they charge more than $20 for a part replacement, they got to return the old part. He didn't get the axles and the calipers and the rotors and everything they changed. He never got none of the old parts back. But he doesn't want to make a big deal of it. I said, $1,500 is a lot of money to pay for a brake job.
Yeah, and there certainly are things that he can do. Michelle, you were making some notes as...
Well, Wisconsin has an auto repair law in place, and it says that when a customer drops off the vehicle in person that they have to sign one of three options, and it's that you can proceed with repairs without calling me up to whatever amount you want. Now, that's option three. We don't advise signing that one because that's just an unwritten open check. No. But the other one is you can proceed with repairs up to a certain dollar amount. Give me a call. So you give them a little room. And the first option is an exact amount. And that's usually you go in for the oil change and you know what you're expecting. And it's any repair over a certain dollar value. So this continuing to go, if your friend didn't give him a blanket check to just keep going, he should file a complaint with our office. And as far as the return of parts, you need to, a dealer or repair shop needs to return parts if the customer says up front that they want them. them back. It's not after the work is done and then they say, mm-hmm. hey, where are my parts? You have to voice that right up front that you want your parts back, because otherwise they're probably throwing them in the recycle bin and in all sorts of different salvage bins and everything else. So you need to speak up front, and that's the same thing that these authorizations are doing, these options, is you're really making it clear up front what you expect and what limits the dealership has. But otherwise they need to call and get verbal authorization to keep going with you. So have your friend file a complaint with our agency.
Again, that number to call to get the form would be 1-800-422-7128. Or you could go online to the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection and get a report or get a form off of the website as well. So John, good luck. Thank you for calling and for helping your friend out a bit, too. Appreciate it. He should follow up. Barb in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Barb.
Hi, I just have a comment. What happened in Green Bay with a local popular bar and grill, they offer a card like once a month. They'll punch it for, say, a free hamburger or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you pay them a certain amount of money. And so we did that. And a month later, this well-known, popular, several location bar and grill closed their doors.
Oh.
And, you know, it's not worth filing complaints, but you know darn well other people have gotten suckered into it, because it was in the Press Gazette daily, their tease. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Oh. So, and they're all of the, they're closed entirely?
Right.
Oh.
So just... Just a comment. I'm sure other people here in Green Bay got caught with this same
deal. Yeah.
Sometimes when that happens, another restaurant or two in the area will offer to honor those rewards cards as a goodwill gesture. It also gets people in their doors. What we tend to hear about is gift cards and restaurants that go out of business, and you actually lose money when you purchase a gift card and then you aren't able to use it. So one thing that we recommend before buying a gift card for a local restaurant is thinking carefully about how much money you're willing to potentially lose if that place mm-hmm. were to go under.
Yeah, that's or if you don't use it right away, there it has a way. Some of them
expire
or they cut back a certain percentage as after a certain amount of time. That happened to me once, so I'm very well aware of that one. I just didn't get around to using a card for a while, and it was, they said, oh, I went to the restaurant, and when I went to pay, they said, oh, no, this is...
All used up.
I said, I haven't spent any of it. They said, well, yeah, but the time's gone by.
One thing Barb can try is asking at a restaurant she goes to whether they'll transfer the reward she has built up with this other one, mm-hmm. whether they'll transfer that to the other restaurant's rewards program.
Worth a try. Thanks, Barb. Marvin and Hayward. Let's see. Get Marvin on. Hi, Marvin. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yes, sir. I've heard ads on the radio about these credit card debt relief programs, how you write off your, up to half or something of your credit card debt. My question, are these legitimate? Do they kill your credit rating? Just information, please.
Yeah.
You really want to check those out ahead of time. Is there a fee up front that you need to pay in order for them to help compound your debt? Is it a community service program that's doing this, or is it a business that's working? Because you can often contact your credit card company directly if you are struggling and get on some kind of a program with them and do these services yourself. Or there are public service not-for-profits that assist with debt relief and budget planning and managing finances. And they're not in it for payment and money. They're just trying to help you recover. So really check them out ahead of time. Make sure that they're legitimate. See how much money that they want up front and what they'll do for you for how much money.
Yeah.
Well, it says, if you have over $10,000 with a credit card debt or whatever else, I pay my bills, but I have some friends who are really having a hard time.
Yeah.
And I thought that'd be something, you know, because I know credit card companies make buku money on your, you know, carried over balances and things. So.
Yeah, and you know, you probably ought to be advising your friends to do what Michelle is suggesting, is to contact. You're better off to contact those credit card companies directly and talk to them, because they're not going to go away.
Yeah, and maybe talk to some not-for-profit, local-funded credit counselors so they can work on things for the future as well.
Yeah, those are all good points. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Daryl wondered if you guys could review how to freeze your credit report.
Sure. It's pretty easy. Just call one of the national credit reporting companies, and those are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and ask them to place a fraud alert on your credit report. The other option you have is to place a security freeze, which is a higher level of protection. And to do that, you have to pay $10, but it's a higher level of protection. So for most people, it's worth it.
Yep. And then if you want to, like, say you get a home loan or something, you need to unlock it if you're...
And that's another $10. But, hey, that's a lot cheaper than some of the other products being offered now.
Absolutely. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests today from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. Be with us right up until 12:30. We'll be back with them right after the news. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller. We're taking a look at consumer issues today, consumer scams, among other things, with our two guests, Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, great to have you with us again.
Thanks, Larry. Good to be here.
And Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Sandy, thank you so much.
Hi, Larry. It's good to be here.
Great to have you with us. And certainly we've been dealing with a lot of different issues today on the show. What about you? If you have a question, maybe there's an issue that you're worried about, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. Or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly at our 800 number, we have open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Rose in Menominee Falls, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a very bizarre situation. I had a credit card that I did not reactivate, and I saw that the expiration date on it was 2013. And I received a charge on that credit card from a store in Colorado, and I had not been in Colorado for 7 years prior to that. So when I called to check it out, and the charge from the store in Colorado listed a month and a date, but not the year that this charge was from. And the month that they listed, I was not out there at all. So when I called to track it down, the store in Colorado said the charge was from 7 years ago, and they didn't know how it happened or what happened there. And the credit card company, of course, said they would take care of it, which they did. But my question is, how could a charge come through on a card that I had not reactivated and the expiration date had already passed?
Well, it's an interesting situation, isn't it, Michelle?
It sure is. I'm not exactly sure how that came through, other than if they had all the legitimate information. And I don't know, somehow they must have passed through some verification or something with the credit card company, but you did the right thing in contacting the credit card company. You probably had to file dispute paperwork as well, if not may have to, and that they're taking care of it and probably maybe looking at their procedures as well. When you were first telling the story, I was thinking you weren't even in Colorado and it was going to just be an identity theft situation where someone got a hold of your information, but at least it sounds like it was a store you were at.
Right.
They're still holding your information. So file the dispute with your credit card company, contact them, and have them take care of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't give me much confidence in this particular credit card company, because I was told by my other credit card company that if no charges have been made on a card after 2 or 3 years, they will actually contact you and say either, you know, buy something or close out the card.
Yeah, a lot of credit card companies do that. They want activity because it costs them to maintain you, so they want to make something off of you as well. Mm-hmm. So they want to see that activity, and others will just let some people hold over and continue to grow. But the best thing you did here, Rose, that all the listeners can benefit from is monitor your bill and pay attention to every single charge.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. Thanks, Rose.
Okay.
Boy, that's a strange one, that's for sure. Well, we get a few strange ones like that when it comes to consumer issues. You never know what people are going to come up with to lift money out of your wallet. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Larry in Little Chute, you're next. Hi, Larry.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Great. Appreciate the call.
I appreciate you taking my call. Back in May, my wife and I were looking at purchasing a vehicle, and I live up in Little Chute, and there's a company near Milwaukee that advertised the certain price of a car on their webpage. And then we called and verified that the car was the price that they were going to be selling it at if we were to purchase it that day. And we get down there, and the cost of the car ended up being over $4,000 more than what's on their webpage. By the time they add certain fees in it, you know, they say that I had to be a veteran and I wasn't a veteran, so then they add more money to the cost of the car. Is this legal for them to do this? And then I filed a complaint with the Better Business Bureau, which must be different than what the ladies represent.
Yeah. All right. Michelle, you want to start?
Well, first, as far as the price of the car, the car sales are regulated by the Department of Transportation, their dealer mm-hmm. section, so you would want to reach out and contact them. If you could Google and find their number on line. Otherwise, if you call our 800 number, they'll give you the number to contact them. And so ours is 1-800-422-7128, and they can refer you over. And we are different than the Better Business Bureau. The state of Wisconsin Bureau of Consumer Protection has authority to investigate and enforce the Wisconsin laws that are in place for consumer protections. And so we're the state's Consumer Protection Enforcement Agency. The Better Business Bureau is a member organization that takes complaints against businesses and works with their members and non-members to try and resolve disputes between parties and in rate companies, whereas we're not in a position to rate companies because we do enforcement.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, look, this company had 78 complaints on the webpage about exactly what I was complaining about. So
wow.
I just went to the wrong place with my complaint, I guess.
Yeah, want DOT will be able to do enforcement with the Wisconsin laws that are in place there.
You should follow up. Do it. By all means, go ahead and follow up with the right place there, Larry. Thank you for calling. I want to give Kelly and Madison a chance to join in. Kelly, hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, good afternoon. Sorry. I have a question about credit cards in general. Why does canceling an existing credit card negatively affect your credit rating?
Well, we don't know all the algorithms that go into a credit card rating because there are many factors and different things. But, you know, one thing that's tossed around is how much credit do you have available to you for credit card reporting agencies to be able to give you a rating. They need to monitor whether you're a good or bad credit risk, so whether or not you pay things off and how do you manage your available credit, and all that goes into these algorithms. So, if you only hold a couple and you cancel them, then they have less data. And if you have a whole bunch and don't cancel them, then you have so much available credit. So there's lots of different educational materials out there and that you can look at that the credit reporting agencies put out there about credit scores, and you could take a look at those. But they're very complex algorithms and factors that go into place.
Yeah.
But not a simple answer. Thank you.
No, sorry.
Unfortunately, there isn't, but it doesn't seem to make sense. You'd think, well, if you still had a card and you canceled a card, why would that negatively affect? But it does sometimes. Liz in Madison, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a credit card question. My credit card company recently sent me new credit cards. They had changed from MasterCard to Visa. The number was all the same. It matched my account and everything, and there were two cards in the envelope. And I didn't even check the name on the card that I put in my wallet. A few years ago, I got two cards for my credit card account, one for my brother-in-law's name and one in my name in case something happened to me so that they could use my account. So anyway, I didn't even check the card. And when I went to use it at a restaurant, I noticed on the bill it had my brother-in-law's name, and I checked the card quick. Sure enough, his name was on the card. I signed the bill, and I brought it to the attention of the waitress that this isn't my name on the card, and she said that was no problem, and they accepted it. I was really, really concerned that the name on the card was a different name than my signature. Should they have accepted that card so readily?
Hmm. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Michelle? Or Sandy? You want to take a shot at it, Sandy?
I really don't know what to say to that. It sounds like maybe their internal procedures were a little lax. But the other thing is, I guess the account number is, well, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
See, they didn't know me from Adam, and they didn't know that this actually was my credit card, but it had a different name on it. And my concern was that why are they accepting a card with a different name on that I'm signing for? I still can't figure that out.
So, yeah. So
you can't see us, but we're sitting here with baffled looks on our faces because we can't figure that out either. I mean, we really stress with consumers to make sure they sign the back of the card, they hand it over securely, they watch that it's swiped, they secure their information, and there's standards in place and best practices that people who take credit cards that are supposed to be followed as well. So, we don't have an answer for you as to why this place took that card. And
these people should attend the seminar that Larry mentioned earlier on payment
that's
card
for
security.
Sure. They weren't in the Eau Claire area, were they, Liz? Oh, my goodness me. Yeah. So the reason there was the brother-in-law's name was because she actually had a second card with his name on it, and she just grabbed the wrong card.
Yeah, so we're not, you know, that's your decision there, and that's a perfectly legitimate one that you have. But
sure,
for that store to have taken one like that without him even sitting there, I don't know.
You wonder. Thanks, Liz. Thanks a lot for calling. Jerry in Big Bend, your turn. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. I have a question. This is an insurance company I have with the vehicles I own and the home.
Okay.
And we had a motorhome. We were in Florida, and we had some damage done. And I got an estimate there to get the price. When I got home, we didn't have it taken care of. I wanted to wait till we got home. When we got home, I had an insurance agent come out from the company that we have, and he wrote out an estimate or figured an estimate, but he didn't give me anything on paper. So he said, I'll get back to you in a couple of days and let you know what it is. Well, I never heard from him, and like about 3 or 4 days later, all of a sudden I get this check in the mail for the amount that he estimated, which was less than what it was from the one in Florida, which I wasn't concerned about because it was a little too much, the one in Florida. I did some of the work that I was able to do myself. But now I haven't had the work done yet because I've been trying to find someone, you know, get more estimates to get a good idea. And he calls me and he says, what did you do with that check I wrote out? And I said, I'm hanging on to it until I get the work done to finalize to see what the amount is going to be, whether it'll be more for parts, labor, whatever. And he wanted me to cut up this check and do away with it because he had found out that an estimate I got from one of the companies that they had worked with, that was a company closer to my home, which was nice, wrote out or did an estimate on it for less than what the check was. So now he wanted to scrap that check, or he told me to just cut up that check, and he said, I'll rewrite you another one. I said, no, I'm just hanging on to it to see what the final price is going to be on the work.
Yeah.
So now I don't know how they can do this, and now what he really wants is because the estimate for the work that's going to be done is less than what his check was. He wants the remainder of that money, I think, back again.
Sounds like it.
So now, if when I get the work finally done, if it's less than the estimate or less than what the check that he wrote out, am I able to keep the rest of that, or do I have to return that back to them?
A couple of ideas. We don't have jurisdiction over insurance policies or insurance in general, but if you want advice from a state agency, the Office of Commissioner of Insurance in Wisconsin is the state agency to talk to. If your problem is with that individual insurance office, maybe you could call the corporate headquarters of your insurance company and say, hey, what's going on with this guy, and see what they have to say.
Yeah, that'd be worth it. Thanks, Jerry, for calling. Good luck. Follow up. Please go ahead and do that. Victoria in Madison, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have an issue with Metropolitan Life. My husband passed away a number of years ago, and I have insurance money, which I left in place, but it was put into what they call a TCA account, total control account. And with that, if you leave the money in there, it earns interest, and you can draw money out, cash in total amounts out, or leave it be, and you'd be guaranteed, I was guaranteed 3% interest no matter what happens with the money markets. And now I found out this last year through a gross accounting error on their part that they're giving me a smaller percentage on the account. And I've gone to them several times, written to them, and they keep coming back and just tell me that I'm earning 2.9 on my account when it should be 3. And they say, oh, yeah, you're guaranteed 3% interest, but I was guaranteed 3% rate. Rate and yield are two different things.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like another one for the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance.
Yeah, that's where I would start. In Wisconsin, it's the Office of Commissioner of Insurance, and they have experts there who know what the state laws are with respect to your situation.
Yeah, I wish we could help, but that's one for the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, and that should be in your phone book, I would think.
Right, right.
Or online, certainly online, you'd be able to find it, too. Thanks for calling, Victoria. Fred in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Fred.
Good afternoon. I'm just calling to report a scam, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. Got a call the other day, somebody who claimed they were allegedly from the IRS and that there was a problem with my account, and if I didn't call this number, I could be arrested by the sheriff, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I know that the IRS doesn't work that way, and I didn't bother calling the number, of course, but I did report it to Consumer Protection, and they said, yeah, that's going on, don't worry about it, just don't answer the calls. But the attitude of the person I talked with in Madison was almost cavalier. My concern is for senior citizens or people who would be frightened by a call like this, they could be in serious trouble by calling that number, because then they would... apparently the scam is that they say, well, we'll settle this for X amount of dollars, and so that person could be in trouble losing money because they contacted that number, but I wanted to bring that scam to your attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that we've been hearing a lot about ever since January, maybe, of this year, where somebody calls saying they're from the IRS and they really use a high-pressure pitch to get you to pay them money. And they can be very threatening, and I agree it can be scary. Sometimes they have the last four digits of your Social Security number. Sometimes they will send you emails in addition. We've heard from people who say after they get the call from supposed IRS agent, they'll also get a call from somebody who claims to be from the police department saying, you know, we're on our way to arrest you for not paying the IRS. So this is something that has been a national problem. We want people to be aware of it, certainly, and realize that the IRS and the State Department of Revenue do not call you on the phone and ask you for a credit card number or ask you to wire them money. Some other phone scams that we've been hearing about lately are the old card services robocalls, which we had a caller on earlier about. The Microsoft tech support scam is still very, very prevalent. The grandparent scam is still out there. We hear from people on a regular basis who are victimized by that scam. And one that we got last night at home was the robocall saying, we're from MCI, please call us to verify your phone service. Well, MCI has been out of business for but people remember that name and think that it may be legitimate. So don't trust your caller ID. Don't respond to an unsolicited phone call like this. If you get a call from somebody who claims to be from the government, call the number in the phone book and verify that this is an actual call.
So lots of things there to remember. Well, actually, not so much. There's a number to call, again, if you do want to file a complaint. And that number, what's the number again, Michelle?
1-800-422-7128.
So it's 1-800-422-7128. That's the number to call. There was a Mike and Rice, like, we might have enough time for this. Mike, you had a quick comment?
Hopefully. I've got some 25-year guarantee certainty shingles that are peeling up, and there was a, I found out just researching the internet that there was a class action lawsuit. Well, you had to respond by 2008, and I don't know if that was a nationwide or a certain states or what, but, you know, my shingles didn't even start peeling till after that time, and the local dealer I got them from has out of business. Their small chain, they may still have stores elsewhere, I don't know, but how do I
proceed from there? Okay.
Well, you'd still want to contact the manufacturer certainty about it, and then I would also suggest you file a complaint with our agency so we can assist you through that process. You wouldn't be part of the class action, but they are still doing some relief for consumers, not necessarily to the fullest of amounts.
Okay, and so again, contact them directly, certainty directly, but then also file a complaint. Go to the phone number at 1-800-422-7128. That's 1-800-422-7128. Wow. Covered a lot of different things today. You guys will come back and be with us again, I hope, month or so. We look forward to it. Thank you so much. Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They'll be back. We'll do it again with them. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll listen in tomorrow at 11. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk will be here with some great advice for keeping your pet happy and healthy. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.